Innovation Alberta, a celebration of science, research, and the inventive spirit. I'm Cheryl Croucher. The Shaw Conference Centre in Edmonton recently played host to the 6th Technology for Success Showcase and Symposium. Hundreds of people visited the trade show to view the latest that Alberta's technology companies have to offer. And that covers a wide range of activity, from software development to biotechnology to new media. And kicking off the event was an enthusiastic salute to investors and inventors from Michael Raymond of Canada's National Research Council. These stories coming up in the next half hour on Innovation Alberta. Bright ideas require investment and markets to bring them to fruition. And the point of Michael Raymond's keynote address to exhibitors at the recent Technology for Success Showcase was to get out there and get as much money as you can. The bigger our technology companies grow, the greater our economy becomes. Michael Raymond is the Vice President of Technology and Industry Support for the National Research Council of Canada. After his presentation, I asked him what venture capital means to technology companies that are just starting out.
Well, a huge amount, because generally they don't have a product that's ready to sell, or even if they do, they're not selling enough of them to break even, and they want to invest far more than a typical business does in research and development and new product innovation. So they always have a thirst for more money. So think particularly of biotech companies that probably need investment for 10 years, perhaps, before they actually generate a product. And even for electronics companies, as I say, they're constantly innovating and developing new products, so their requirement for R&D funds is always significant as compared to your local pizza parlor. Nothing wrong with that business, but that's why there's a need for money, and that's why the venture capital industry tends to focus on these potentially high growth but technology-oriented companies.
Now, you were suggesting that people don't stop at $3 or $4 million, that they should really go for broke and go for as much as they can get. How do you know how much to go for?
Well, if you're a Canadian patriot, I'm suggesting that the best thing you can do for this economy is build $100 million companies, $500 million companies, because too many companies top out as a sort of lifestyle, $2 or $3 or $4 million a year. Now, again, if it's a home business, no criticism of that at all. That's great. That would be wonderful to get to that stage. But I'm talking about, again, breakthrough technology entrepreneurs, people who are really trying to create the next BioVail, or, you know, might take Research in Motion or Ballard, or some of the Canadian success stories such as QLT Phototherapeutics and companies like this, companies that have broken through and employ hundreds if not thousands of people today and really contribute through a tax base and their own ability to do a lot more R&D. Because if they lose $1 million on R&D and it doesn't work out, it's not going to put them in the poorhouse. They don't have to worry about payroll tomorrow. So these are the kinds of companies that can really help the Canadian economy the most. And we have to break through from building small companies. They're important, but we have to help the small companies become bigger companies too. That's equally important.
Is that money going to come from Canada or the United States or other countries around the world?
You know, capital's pretty efficient at flowing around to where the returns are these days. So I would say still the majority of it's going to come from Canada, because generally, depending on the stage of investment, people will prefer to have their investments closer to home. But for later stage investments, it's quite possible to attract money from the Far East, from the States, or from Europe. It's less easy than if you're there, but it can be done. For early stage, it's going to be Canadian money, and that's a pool of money probably that we have to increase and make it more attractive for particularly institutional investors and perhaps some angel investors to take a little bit more risk than they're prepared to take today.
You had a graph that showed an interesting comparison between what was happening with venture capital in Canada and that had an American origin. What is the difference?
Well, generally, there is more availability of venture capital south of the border than there is here, and that gap has certainly widened over the last 3 or 4 or 5 years. Even though the deals that are being done in the U.S. have dropped dramatically and the deals are tough, there is a lot more money. Having said that, there's also a myth in Canada that the Canadian government puts more support into small business than the U.S. government. fact, it's the other way around. The statistics are quite clear that the U.S. government provides more support to its small businesses than does the Canadian government. So there's possibly a role for the Canadian government to look at that and to increase its funding at the small end, which is where most of your entrepreneurs are really crying out that they find money difficult to raise.
Now, you've suggested, rather than looking at trade missions, that we head out more for technology missions, mm-hmm. and that also there's some perhaps different countries we should be looking at, like Brazil, for example. Why Brazil?
Well, I mentioned Brazil, China, India, perhaps Thailand and other countries in Southeast Asia. My reasoning for that is that they are less sophisticated than we are technologically now, but have huge markets with very rapidly increasing market demand. So we can help them with technology and partner with them. So instead of making a one-time sale of selling them a widget, you actually partner with a company over there and share in the benefits from now for a long time in the future. It's somewhat alarming traveling overseas that you realize how rapidly countries like China, Brazil, China particularly, China, Thailand, and India are advancing. And I think it's a very reasonable view for people who travel over there. It's an informed view that those countries are not going to need the kinds of technology exports we might be able to provide in 5 to 10 years. So now is the time to go and form the partnerships. And it's much easier. In fact, it is the psyche, particularly in the Far East, that if you come to me and suggest a partnership between us, that's much more acceptable than saying, I'm coming and I'm going to sell you something and you're going to pay me. That's a one-time, short-time, no relationship kind of a deal. They like both parties to be in there, and I think there's tremendous opportunity helped by missions such as the ones we take, which are not trade missions. We're not selling anything. All we're doing is forging partnership between Canadian companies with technology and markets and companies in these developing nations where they need that technology at least today. Now, having said that, I think that is a critically important and wonderful area for Canadian companies to think about. But I do want to make the point that I'm not suggesting in any way we should give up on our traditional markets of the US and Europe and so on. They are huge consumers of technology, and there are great opportunities there. It's all about expectations. There can be probably only relatively slow growth. I think to have expectations of huge growth in technology exports to the US or Europe is unrealistic. So let's just control our expectations there. There is the potential for huge growth in technology exports to the other countries that I mentioned, and that's what's exciting.
Thank you very much.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
That was Michael Raymond, Vice President of Technology and Industry Support with the National Research Council of Canada. Over 130 exhibitors set up booths at the recent Technology for Success Showcase in Edmonton. For me, it was one more chance to find out about some of the exciting new products and services that are coming out of Alberta's technology community.
My name is Harold Kobler, and the name of my company is NetCentrics Corporation.
What is NetCentrics?
NetCentrics is a company that services clients through developing web-based applications, and also we've developed a web-based integrated development environment for developing these applications.
And this has all been done in Alberta?
This has been done in Alberta, and we also have an office in Kelowna, British Columbia.
Now, how would someone use this?
If you're developing an application, there's two ways to do that. You can develop an application that's on the desktop, that will run on the desktop, or you can develop a web-based application. To develop a web-based application, what we've done is we've created a development environment that will allow us to develop that application through the web, and it generates a flash front-end application that talks to any back-end that could be .NET or Java or ColdFusion-based.
Why did you think it was necessary to develop this? What's the problem you're addressing?
Well, there are so many applications right now that are narrowly focused. For instance, if you're Microsoft Shop, you typically focus on Microsoft products, and they usually only talk to Microsoft, if you're doing anything sophisticated on the front end, Microsoft products on the front end. Now, on our side, what we've done is we said, We've taken the flash technology and we've said that, flash is the most pervasive technology out there. It's 98% pervasive. And we use that technology to deliver the presentation to whoever uses the application. So that means our applications will run on a Macintosh or on a Linux or Unix or what have you platform out there. And we're not limited to just a narrowly focused market then.
Who is your target market?
Right now our target market is medium to large size businesses. We typically develop applications that are used to better manage businesses and manage their content and development activities.
When you look around at all the different exhibitors at the trade show here today, and so many are involved in developing different types of softwares that help you do things better with your computer, how do you deal with the competition?
Well, I don't see them as competition. I see them as potential clients. They develop their applications using certain technologies, and possibly our technology would provide them with an advantage down the road. So it's a possible future client or a potential client at this time.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
My name is John Larson with Industry Mailout.
What is Industry Mailout?
We're an e-newsletter service. Essentially what we do is we create, send, manage, and report on e-newsletter campaigns.
And who do you do this for?
We have a wide range of customers. Locally, we work with the Edmonton Symphony Orchestra, which uses our system very well. We also work with CKUA Radio. Then internationally, we work with Polo Jeans Co. We do promotions for Ralph Lauren, Jones New York Apparel. We work with a software company out of the UK and then a number of industrial companies across North America.
When did you start this?
Well, the software has been around for about 2 years now and a year of development before that. We started focusing in on business-to-business applications in January of this year.
So you've really grown fast and far and wide.
We're pretty happy with the growth so far. We're really excited about some of the customers we've got. We've got some customers that we never would have dreamed of getting when we first started this a year ago.
How did you luck onto them?
Polo Jeans Co. was definitely luck. Basically, they were going out for a request or an RFP, and I think we talked to them more than other companies. That's, I think, our advantage of being a smaller company as opposed to some of our larger competition, such as multi-million-dollar companies like DoubleClick that compete with us. Then other companies such as Starwood Lodges, which is the Sheraton, Westin, and W Hotels. That was just through actual connections, luck. Then a lot of our industrial customers we've done through direct sales.
What is it that people like about your service?
There's a few things. There's the immediacy. E-newsletters have at least double the response rates of direct mail, but in where we're trying to apply it is business-to-business applications, and based on our response rates that we see, some of our customers are getting 25-30% readership on articles, which is very high when you look at any other forms of marketing. What they also like is the accountability of the system. We can immediately tell customers how effective their marketing campaigns were. We can also tell them who opened the newsletters and what was read inside by individual customers. It gives them a measurement of their marketing campaigns.
How do people get in touch with you?
They can call us at 877-260-6005, or they can also email us at info@industrymailout.com.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
My name is Merv Mattson. I represent Rights Market, Inc. I'm the chairman and founder of that company.
Now, what's Rights Market, Inc.?
We are a software developer and marketer. We develop software products to implement persistent information security.
Now, what do you mean, persistent information security?
It means the information security never comes off. It means that file that you wrap up that you want to protect is always protected, no matter how many copies are made, no matter how many legitimate users mishandle it, accidentally send it on, deliberately try to defeat the system, or perhaps get hacked, lose their laptop, have information accidents. That information is still protected, and the custodian or the owner of that information has control, persistent control.
What is it that you're doing to maintain that? What's new that you've developed?
Well, this technology is a reapplication of DRM, or digital rights management. This technology always authorizes use and always tracks use. It comes from the world primarily of electronic books and electronic music, where the publisher or the owner of the information fully expects legitimate users to try to move it on. They're going to share it with their friends, their family. And the owners, publishers, want to make sure that everybody who gets a copy of that is a legitimate user and has paid for it. Now, if you transfer that kind of technology and apply it over to confidential records, the custodians of that information are not concerned about selling it and collecting a fee, but they're very concerned about controlling who can look at it. Health records are a great example, where you might have a family doctor collecting this information, lab reports, the work they do in their offices, patient histories, diagnoses, that sort of thing, and now they need to share it with other caregivers, perhaps with a hospital physician, maybe with a specialist or whatever. They want to send that information out, they want it to be extremely secure, and they want to control who can look at that information even after it leaves their office. That's persistent security.
Now, I understand that you've actually beat out Microsoft on this.
Well, we were in this field before they were. Microsoft has come into this field now, and we're very happy about that. We believe that they have the muscle and the educative capability to really move this market along. They are going to explain to the world how digital rights management works and how it can be applied to confidential records. And we are going to compete for customers with them. We don't need quite as many customers as they do. And we do a few things better than they do now, and we'll be working hard to stay in front in categories and niches and certain applications.
How do people find out more?
They could go to our website, www.rightsmarket.com. Rightsmarket is all one word. And the rights word is as in copyright, or the right to own, the right to use.
Thank you very much.
Well, you're very welcome. Thank you.
My name is James Baker, and our company is called Agritronics. We have another division called Concepts to Market that we use to sell products, design products to other kinds of clients.
Now you have some circuit boards out here. What is it that you do with circuit boards?
Well, we design what's called instrumentation products, so they involve electronics. So the circuit boards have electronics on them. So we design the circuits that are on the circuit boards, and they have a particular function. It could be to one of the examples is to measure for leaks in underground fuel storage tanks. So there's a probe that goes in the tank, and there's a circuit board with electronics on it that senses pressure and temperature and water level inside the tank.
What's special about what you do?
We try to do things that you can't buy out of a catalog. So if you try to find an instrument that will measure something and you can't find it anywhere, then we'll invent it. We'll make it from scratch.
What different areas are you able to use this in, or that you've made inventions for?
Well, we started out in the agricultural industry, and we have an invention that's patented as a sprayer monitor. The first sprayer monitors that were made were ours. The first combine efficiency monitor that would work for oilseed crops is one of our inventions. We've done biomedical products. There's a prescription timer reminder that we invented. Most of these inventions are for other companies. They're not our own products, but we'll invent something for another client.
What's next for you?
just more of the same. Interesting things that people need to have done. We'll try to figure out a solution for them.
How do you go about that process?
Well, people come to us. It's very difficult to put out a sign to say, come here if you want something invented. So most of the contacts we have are from other people that we've done work for.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Yes, my name is Mark Redmond. I'm the President and Chief Executive Officer of CPRO Inc.
You've got a new product here. It's called AccuScreen that you've just launched. What is that?
AccuScreen is a new way of detecting diabetes at the early stage of the disease. So early detection allows you to begin to take remedial steps which can prevent the development of the full-blown disease.
How does the screen work?
AccuScreen is simply a test meal. It contains a calibrated amount of carbohydrate that your body metabolizes into sugar. And after 45 minutes, you measure the sugar that your body has absorbed. It's a quick, simple test. Test which can be applied at the doctor's office, but importantly in the Canadian environment, it allows the remote testing of diabetes in, for example, the First Nations reserves in the north.
Well, you're holding a box in your hand and it looks like you have crackers inside.
The format of the test meal is actually 10 wafers. They taste like a graham cracker. The trick to the meal is the calibrated carbohydrate in it. But also we include protein and fat insofar as it's important when you're getting an accurate measurement of diabetes that the sugar is absorbed in the context of having protein and other constituents of a normal meal. Because if you were to just take a liquid glucose drink, your body handles liquids differently to how it handles semi-solids, which you normally find in your digestive tract. So this is the unique attribute of the AccuScreen is it's a solid test. It's light, it's portable, and it's highly accurate in detecting diabetes. We can detect diabetes 5 to 10 years before conventional tests.
What's the magic ingredient in that?
The magic ingredient is actually oat starch. The magic about it is the purity of the starch that we use, but also some of the physical properties of the oat starch in terms of it's a very small particle. It's readily dispersed in the digestive system. And that dispersion means your enzymes in your stomach can digest the meal and rapidly absorb the glucose, which is released. So it's something like taking a Contact C tablet for your cold. The product is dispersed and time-released. We have the same type of chemistry at play in AccuScreen.
This has been developed here?
The concept for AccuScreen actually came out of the University of Toronto, but it has been developed in conjunction with the University of Alberta. We've worked with the diabetes group at the university, but the clinical testing that we've done took place all the way across Canada from coast to coast to coast. So there is definitely a home origin to AccuScreen in terms of the testing and the fact that CPRO is an Edmonton-based company.
What's next?
What's next? We're in three test markets at the moment, three important test markets. The first is a healthy workplace environment, and we're working with Syncrude up at Fort McMurray to test all of their employees. And that will give us a model for how to use AccuScreen in the workplace. We're working with Capital Health Authority to see how the test can best be used within the public health environment. And finally, we're working with the First Nations communities, specifically the Blood Indians down at Lethbridge. So within three distinct market sectors, we're developing protocols for how best to use the test. But perhaps more importantly, we'll show how to follow up the results of a test. If you are indicated that you have pre-diabetes, what you have to do in terms of increased diet and exercise. It's important to have the balance between diagnosis and follow-up care. And so we're developing those protocols over the next year. From that point, we intend to go across Canada in the public health care system, the First Nations, but we anticipate also the activities through Syncrude will get telegraphed through the oil community into the United States and from there on into the industrial sector of the USA.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
I'm Brad Guthrie, Executive Director of the Edmonton Capital Region Innovation Center here in Edmonton.
This is year number 6 for Technology for Success. How's it going?
Well, we're quite pleased. It's always good to have an event continue to be viable and grow. And as you've mentioned, the sixth annual event, we've had over 100 exhibitors here today, and we're quite happy with that turnout. That continues to grow. Hundreds and hundreds of people have come by, which is good because we want people to learn more about the business of technology in Edmonton and to try and leverage the event to put resources in the pockets of companies that need to grow their tech-based business.
I've been to a few of these Technology for Success showcases, and I have to say this year, it's always been put on really well, but this is really glamorous.
Yes, the steering committee that runs the event, which includes InfoTech Alberta Industry Association and a host of other organizations from the community, have made an innovative little change to the floor plan. Now they have pavilions this year. And pavilions, for example, there's a biotech pavilion, an information technology pavilion, whatnot, allows the show to do two things. It's inclusive of a broad range of knowledge-based industries, but at the same point, each pavilion gives a certain industry its own little identity, and there's a lot of direct networking amongst people of the same industrial cluster, but then they can go wandering to the next pavilion. And so we get some interesting crossover and yet the identity of each tech-based industry.
What do you think is the most significant thing to come out of gatherings such as this?
Well, we're, again, always looking for resources to be shared between companies so they can both grow more quickly. Customer-supplier relationships are very important. And the symposium, certainly, we intend it to be a valid in-service training opportunity for tech-based businesses. And the topics are deliberately chosen to address needs that the community have expressed to us in order to grow their companies more quickly. So the topics are specifically chosen and usually very well received, and we hope people go away and in the next week or two actually make a few changes to their business model based on what they've learned here today.
Well, it looks like another success for Technology for Success. Thank you very much, Brad.
Thank you for having me.
That was Brad Guthrie, Executive Director of the Edmonton Capital Region Innovation Center. If you would like to find out more about the different companies that participated in this year's Technology for Success Showcase, you can check the website at technologyforsuccess.com. That brings Innovation Alberta to a close for this week. The interviews you heard during the program are posted as audio files and as written transcripts on our website at innovationalberta.com. And you can keep up to date on technology and research events by subscribing to our weekly newsletter, Innovation Alberta Online. Innovation Alberta is sponsored by the Capital Region Innovation Center, the Sustainable Forest Management Network, Alberta Pacific Forest Industries, Alberta Ingenuity, the Alberta Heritage Foundation for Medical Research, the University of Lethbridge, ICOR, the Informatics Circle of Research Excellence, Japan Canada Oil Sands Limited, Alberta Conservation Association, Alberta Research Council, the National Institute for Nanotechnology, and the Health Sciences Association of Alberta. Innovation Alberta is mixed at Riverdale Recorders and is a Porcupine Stone production. I'm Cheryl Croucher.